be in your house, to be in the Spirit together. Lord, I thank you for the deep hunger that's in this house. I thank you, Lord, there's people in this room, they don't even know how hungry they are for you, but they're starving and they're thirsty. And Lord, your word says that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they shall be filled. We thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Do you guys feel the presence of God in here? I'm going to let them kind of keep strumming for just a minute. I'm just going to come down here. Just stay stand for just a second. Now, I said lift your hands because it's like a Bible command, right? Like, it's something you do whether you feel like it or not. Like, when my kids wake up in the morning, I don't have a choice. My wife has even less of a choice of dealing with the fact that they're awake. God is causing his people to arise and shine in this house. He's causing his people to awaken. That word revival means to wake up, to come back to life again. And I can feel a fresh wind of the Spirit coming upon every person in the sound of my voice. There are people in this place, you're desperate, you feel burnout, you don't even know what to do. And God says, I'm going to meet you today. Brother Mason, come up here and share that word you gave me during worship. You guys can put your hands down for a sec. Stay stand for just a sec. I'll let you sit in a second. Just share with me. He stopped me. This is Brother Mason. He just got back from missions. And where were you?
Kazakhstan and Kyrgyzstan.
Kazakhstan and Kyrgyzstan. I don't even know how to pronounce those. He was there reaching unreached people, but he had a word when he came in. Just share what you shared with me.
During worship, I'm from a different body, but I just asked the Lord, are you invited here? And I just felt such a proud father smile over this place that, like, he felt so proud to say, yes, I'm welcomed here. And I just felt like he was coming. And I felt the power of God on that. And after, I just kept listening. And he said, I feel like I'm welcomed here. But I saw the people in their space here. And I felt like Jesus was on his throne there. And the people welcoming him. And Jesus was coming. And he said, this is my desire. But my ultimate desire is that I wouldn't have to step down into their comfortability. That they would be out of their comfortability. And they would say, God, let me come into your throne room. Instead of you coming down just here. So he wants us to step into his throne room, and that requires us to step out of our comfortability. There's little things like, I'm comfortable with 32 minutes of worship, or I'm comfortable with this, or comfortable with that, comfortable lifting my hands, comfortable keeping them down, comfortable on my knees, comfortable standing. He wants us to step completely out of that and say, whatever your will is, I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to do whatever you beckon me to do. Let me be silent and be holy and obedient unto your voice, whatever that requires. So I felt that invitation for us today, just let go of all comfortability, let go of all preferences, and just say, God, my preference is your will. Not my will be done, but your will be done today, here as it is in heaven.
Brandon, if you're hungry for that, you're like, God, I just want everything you have for me. Just lift your hands again.
Yes, Lord. God, we submit every preference unto your name. God, we submit every bit of our will unto your presence. And we confess right now that what we think is best, if it does not align with your best, we get rid of it right now in Jesus' name. We submit this time to you, God. We'll stay for 30 minutes and we'll stay for 4 hours, whatever you ask us to, Lord. We're here on your schedule, not ours. We're here on your time, not ours. This is your day. God, I thank you that this is not our mercy, but your new mercies every morning. So we step into your mercy this morning, God. We ask that your will be done. Let us step into your throne room. God, we don't ask you to adhere into our preferences. God, we want to submit to you, to submit into the fullness of your throne room. We don't want just whatever we can build up. We want your fullness, Holy Spirit. Oh God, I even thank you that you're invited here, and we want to invite you more, God. Come and do more. I thank you for the work in this body, God, and I ask for more this morning. Come, Lord Jesus. Yes,
God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. There's miracles happening, even right now, for people. Somebody's neck was just healed. There's a girl with a thyroid problem. The Lord's healing you. Somebody's sinuses just opened up. Lord, we thank you that there's miracles in the house, because Jesus, you're the miracle worker. You're the miracle worker, Lord Jesus, and we worship you. You came out of the grave, fully God and fully man. You came from heaven to earth to make a way. You are the way, the truth, and the life. You laid down your life for us on the cross. You, the Son of God, shed your blood for us. You were crucified for our transgressions, pierced through for our iniquities, chastised for our peace. By your stripes we're made whole. God, I thank you for wholeness for every person in the sound of my voice. I thank you for deliverance in the house today. I thank you for freedom in the house today. In Jesus' mighty name, and all God's people said, amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. You guys can take a seat. I'm going to give you guys a break. Give the worship team a hand clap again. You guys are spoiled with that. Come down here and hang out a little closer. Is that okay? I love this church. You guys have a really great church. You guys have a really good praise team, too. You guys are super spoiled. It's amazing. You're like, don't let them go. It's amazing. God's doing great things. You said, how old is the church? 3 years? 4 years? 4 years. How many of you guys have been here since the beginning? Put your hand up. Wow, come on. Give yourselves a hand clap. That's awesome. That's awesome. How many of you guys have you've just joined or you're checking things out in the past 6 months? Put your hand up. That's awesome. This is a healthy home to fellowship in. You have a pastor that's hungry for the things of God. I could feel there's people here. You're kind of like checking things out. It's okay to have a period of time where you kind of feel things out, but you don't pick your family. God assigns you one. And the Bible says God puts the lonely in family. If you're feeling lonely, it's because you don't realize you already have a family in Christ. It's impossible to be alone when somebody's with you named Jesus all the time. But he's got a specific place for you to belong. And for many of you, that's this house. And if it's not this house, you got to make sure you get to that place where you're meant to be. My name's Chris. Again, I'm your friendly neighborhood preacher man. I love the local church. I've been privileged to see a local church planted in Southern California. Been traveling in ministry for almost 20 years now, by the grace of God. I'm older than I look. I got my friends Nate and Eleni here. Look, Nate and Eleni, look at this little beautiful baby. And you guys are having another one. That's amazing. Makes me really happy. Remind me your daughter's name again. Rory. Praise the Lord for her. She's so like plump and beautiful. It's amazing. I got my wife and kids here. I don't know where my wife is. She's probably running around with Isaac. But my mom's over here. Eileen Watson. Give a hand wave. That's awesome. Go with me to Mark 16. And you can get video one loaded. I'll see if I even get to it. I was going to show you guys miracle videos. I'd probably show you at least a couple of them. Mark 16. Our Lord Jesus, fully God and fully man, he's come in the flesh. He's the Son of God. The Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. He went about doing good, healing, teaching, preaching, casting devils out of people, and forgiving. He was willing to lay down his life for your sins and my sins. He died on the cross, and on the third day he rose from the dead according to the scriptures. Say according to the scriptures. The Bible says all scripture is God-breathed. It's profitable for teaching, correction, rebuke, training, and righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. If you stay in this every single day, your life will change. I was dared to read the Bible for 30 days straight as an alcoholic in college. And that's what led to deliverance and baptism with the Holy Spirit and everything changing in my life. That's good. You guys like that. Got my notes popping around. Mark 16, Jesus is risen. Say he is risen. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, verse 1, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb where the sun had risen. And when they had said among themselves, who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away. Every barrier between you and the resurrection of Jesus Christ has been removed by what he has already done. Every barrier. We don't worship a dead Jesus, we worship a live one. Say every barrier is removed. Say every barrier in my family, every barrier in my friends. Nothing can keep people from Jesus except their own choice. That's true. That's true. Even the demoniac came to Jesus to worship him, full of thousands of demons, and he still bowed down to Jesus, and then he got delivered. You come to Jesus and let him do the work. You don't clean yourself up to take a shower. You just get in. Don't picture it, but just go with me. It's true. You don't clean yourself up to take a bath. You just get in. The blood of Jesus speaks a better word over you. The value of something is determined by what someone's willing to pay for it. The value of your life was the Son of God on the cross. Fully God and fully man. God, our Father, was willing to give everything. And God, the Father, wasn't sending Jesus to convince himself to love you or to value you. He sent the greatest gift he could give. Jesus, the fullness of the Godhead dwelling in bodily form. Jesus died for you and me. And he rose from the dead. They saw that the stone was rolled away. They entered in the tomb. They saw a young man clothed in long white robes sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth. He was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. Go and tell his disciples." Hearing that song, go tell it on the mountain. Go and tell his disciples and Peter. Say, and Peter. Anybody been like Peter before? You walked with Jesus. You talked with Jesus. You saw his power. And then you denied him 3 times. That was me, 19 years of age. I would have called myself a Christian, but I was living completely wicked and completely bound. And as I was reading the Gospels and reading through the book of Acts, the Lord Jesus came into my apartment and he said, "Chris, you say that you've given me your life. I love you so much that I will let you keep living the way you're living, but you know the end of it." And I began to weep for 2 days as God showed me the areas of my heart that were not surrendered, the areas that he gave everything for. Sometimes you got to give him things by faith. Say, by faith. The disappointment, the divorce, the fear, the loss. There's somebody here, I'm not going to point you out. You lost a child. God is going to give you children. And when you get to heaven, you'll get to be with that child too. But he's going to give you children to be a mother to here in this place. Spiritual kids. God's going to do stuff with people to redeem what was taken. But you have to let go. You say, "Well, I went to church and they went through this pastor did this bad thing." I meet people that still talk about what happened in a church like 20 years ago. And I'm like, "You guys, nobody in the town even knows about that anymore. Why are we still talking about that? Why are we still bound up in that?" People will literally dress like the season they were wounded in. They'll wear the clothes from it. Or vice versa, they'll be in a revival. They'll be in the move of God and they'll dress like the revival. I remember being in Southern California pastoring, and you'd meet guys, they would talk about the Jesus movement, and I'd be in church, and I'd be like, "There's like 600 people here. People are getting saved every week. People are getting baptized with the Holy Spirit. People are seeing miracles on the streets." I'm like, we're in a new Jesus movement. Friends, America is in a great revival right now, and you're a part of it. Say, "I'm a part of it." Say, "I'm not going to stay on the sidelines. I'm getting in the game." You know, Nebraskans, they go to football games in like negative 30 degree temperatures and they'll be out there for like 40, you know, not 40 minutes, like 4 hours straight over and over again. What happens when you get rid of the clock? What happens when you don't care about those things anymore and you actually say, "I want to go full bore for everything God has for me"? When I came to Nebraska on the first trip that I came here back in 2010, I was sent here from a church in Northern California to preach. I preached at 8 different churches throughout Omaha. Saw amazing miracles. Saw a woman with metal plates in her neck disappear. She said, "It felt like I got an epidural in my neck. All the nerve pain left me." She said, "Felt this rush of power go through her arms." She reached up to try to find the plates and couldn't find them anymore. She could feel them from the front. You can give the Lord a hand clap of praise for that. That's Jesus. He's the one that does that. It was like right around here somewhere. One time we got stuck here. We came to do 3 days of services, and we got stuck here for 17 nights in a row. The only reason they stopped the meeting is because of Christmas. I've always wondered what would have happened if we just kept going through Christmas. You'd say, "Well, Christmas is a family holiday. Not everybody has a family to go home to." We saw mighty miracles. 1,500 first-time visitors come into a meeting about a building just a tiny bit bigger than this. It's where I met Eleni. You know, God did incredible things. People would be crawling out of the building at like 1 in the morning. The glory of God on them so strong. Have you experienced God's presence like that before? If you haven't, that's for you. It's for you today. God wants to overwhelm you. You know, if soldiers came to take away Jesus in John chapter 18 verses then through chapter 19, and they said, we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, and he said, I am he. And if special forces soldiers, centurions of that time period, collapsed backwards under the revelation of the nearness of God, how much more a child of God when your father gives you a hug? I remember there was a girl in those meetings. Her name was Sarah. She came in. She had been battling through different things. When she came in, a word was called out. Somebody's left knee is being healed right now. She felt this tingling go through her left knee. When she walked into the room, she started crying, and she was like, I don't know why I'm crying. She was feeling God's love. It was like the Lord walked into the room. Jesus walked into the room. We couldn't get him to leave. Night after night, hour after hour. She wept. In one of the altar calls, she raised her hands to the Lord, and about her and half a dozen other high schoolers just in the crowd just collapsed backwards. Power God fell forward. Just power God. Nobody's waving their hands. Nobody was waving their jacket. Nobody was touching them. I like those things too. But the power God just hit these young people. She ended up going into a trance. Say a trance. You know, in Acts chapter 10, Peter fell into a trance when he went to pray, and he had a vision. Say a vision. When she was on the ground, she heard a voice. She said, I was caught up, I was surrounded by light, and I heard a voice say to me, Sarah, you deserve better. And Sarah was a teenager in a physically, emotionally, and another type of abusive relationship, high schooler. She didn't want to live anymore. When she got up off the ground, all of the bondage was gone. She said, I haven't had a negative thought since that day. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I see negative patterns and negative thoughts being driven out this morning by the word of God. If you receive it, say, I receive it in Jesus' name. I could feel suicide being driven out of this room. I could see people, there's people that you've battled with the spirit of death. It's been constant sickness and constant disease. It's getting removed today. Cancer's getting burned out of people today. We're going to see some great miracles. Amen. You'd say, how are we going to see them? Jesus is in the room. Just look to him. He's the author and perfecter of faith. How do you get healed? Remember how you got healed? You were in the meeting. I said, God's healing you, and you put your hand on your lower abdomen. I didn't know what I was doing. You don't have to know what you're doing. You just have to follow the one that does. See, God wants people saved more than they want to be saved. Is that true? Some of you know what I'm talking about. You worked very hard not to get born again. God wants people saved more than they want to be saved. In the same way that God wants people saved more than they want to be saved, God wants people healed more than they want to be healed. Because the same person that saves is the same person that heals. See, that takes the pressure off of you. If you look at your faith, you're going to come up short. If you look at his faith, he's the author and perfecter of faith. Faith is always supplied. You came to that meeting, you weren't even thinking about your problem. And I was like, put your hand on your belly, and you were told you'd never have a baby. And now you got one, and you got another one in there right now. That's amazing. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Say, with God, all things are possible. He came out of the grave. They fled. They were afraid. Now, verse 9. He rose early on the first day. When he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 demons. She'll forever be known as the woman out of whom 7 demons were cast out. Why? Because there's no shame. You know, if somebody's in a wheelchair paralyzed, that's like a gnarly bondage. I remember a girl in Mexico City while we were preaching, 1,000 people in the room. All of a sudden, there's a wheelchair getting carried over the crowd. I don't know if anybody even prayed for this girl. I don't have to lay hands on you. God's here. His hand is not too short that it cannot save, heal, and deliver. God's presence is touching people even right now. Miracles are happening even right now because he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He doesn't want that thing in your life. Well, why have I been battling it so long? Maybe just because you got to get into more Holy Ghost services. More word, more Holy Ghost services, more miracles. Well, what about this? What about that? Take your eyes off of those things and put them on Jesus. Well, if God, how come a good God lets bad things happen to people? How come bad people are even loved by a good God? How about that? That's a better question. You know, in the garden, Adam and Eve, the original question was all about God's goodness when the serpent came to tempt Eve. Did God really say? It was literally getting her to question the goodness of God. I remember being in this building, I won't say when or how long ago, it was a while ago, and there was a guy preaching, and he preached about how God is hate. And I was like, there was absolutely no anointing on anything he said. He literally couldn't even close the service. He had to get somebody else to pray. God doesn't hate you. God loves you. God hates what's hurting you. God hates the things that have come against you. You'd say, well, what about this rearview mirror, all of these problems? Forgetting what lies behind, pressing forward to what lies ahead. Press on towards the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Mary Magdalene, when you're bound in a wheelchair, it's a terrible bondage. So I was in this meeting in Mexico City, and this gal starts walking to the front while they're carrying a wheelchair over the crowd's heads. This was over 10 years ago, maybe 15 years ago now. She gets up on stage. She had been completely paralyzed from the waist down from a car accident for 6 months. Didn't want to live. Completely miraculously healed. Now, some people in this room, that's not your physical problem. That's your spiritual problem. You're in a wheelchair emotionally. When you come out of that wheelchair, oh, hallelujah. There's people in this room, you're going to get so full of joy today. I pray your husband has to carry the car. I pray your wife and her friends have to carry the husband. The power of God's real, and he wants to touch you more than you want to be touched. She went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept, and when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. After that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went to the country, and they went and told to the rest, but they did not believe. In Luke's gospel, it says, did not our hearts burn within us while he walked with us on the road? Don't you want your heart to burn for Jesus every day? Say, Lord, cause my heart to burn. Lady, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart. Isn't that interesting? He rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, and then he came and solved it. See, Jesus doesn't just rebuke us, he solves the problem. Jesus is a friend. He's a friend of sinners. He's willing to tell us the truth. I'm so grateful that God told me the truth about my hypocrisy and my pride at 19 years of age. And then I saw the truth that the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire was for every follower of Jesus. I said, God, whatever you gave those disciples in the upper room, I must have everything they had because I understand what it looks like to deny you. I understand what it looks like to be like Peter and deny you. I have to have everything. And I had never been to a meeting where people had spoken with other tongues. Actually, one time, I should say, in a Catholic church of all places where my mom brought me, I heard somebody speak with tongues one time. But there I was in my apartment in San Diego, California, in college, speaking with new tongues in my apartment, weeping and laughing and thinking to myself, this is nuts. Am I making this up? Where is this coming from? This is wild. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, the carnal mind does not comprehend the things of God. Your brain is a poor leader. It's a good follower. The Holy Ghost is called and sent as your leader. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, Romans 8, verse 14, are the children of God. Say, child of God. Friends, not everybody's a child of God. You can become a child of God when you get born again. That's what the Bible actually teaches. I'm going to hit it for another moment because I can hear people arguing with me in their head. God made everybody in his image, but you're born a child of your parents. The Bible says, as many as received him, John chapter 1, verse 12, he gave the privilege, the right, the authority, the blessing to become the child of God. People need to be born again. I was just in Italy last week, 59 million people I learned in Italy. In the region I was in, only 12% of people even identify as going to worship services at all. And usually people are self-righteous, so they'll put on the paper. You know, I go twice a year. 12%. Now, Omaha is probably about, I'll be conservative, let's say 15% born again. That means we got a lot of fun to have, and we got a lot of work to do. He appeared to 11. What did he say in verse 15? Go into all the world and what? Preach the gospel to every creature. That's not the squirrels and the bees, that's people. If people get in order, the squirrels and the bees will get better. People are like, I preach the gospel and sometimes I use words. The word preach means use words. St. Francis of Assisi never said that they attribute that thing to him. Jesus commanded us to preach the gospel. So what is the gospel? I'm going to teach you very quickly how to preach the gospel to people. You stop people. You look them in the eye and say, have you heard the good news? A lot of times you don't even know how to start a conversation. You don't have to be people's best friends to see them born again. I've seen people get born again and baptized with the Holy Spirit, speaking with new tongues, and then I ask them what their name is on the street. Yeah, be friendly to people. But you can stop people. You can say, have you heard the good news? And then start talking about the love of God in Christ Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. All of us are like sheep that went astray. So the good shepherd, the king of the universe, came in human flesh to die our death, to take the punishment we deserve. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. If you go to work to get a wage, your wage for your sin is death. But Jesus Christ came that you might have a free gift of eternal life in him, that your sins would be washed away and that you could fellowship with God even right now today, that you could be separated from your sin forever and be joined together with him forever. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead. He is alive and well, and he's here right now, and he's a forgiver, and he's a cleanser, and he's a healer, and he's a deliverer. That's a simple way to preach the gospel to somebody in 30 seconds. If you get the gospel in your heart and in your mouth, it'll start coming out everywhere you go. And guess what'll happen? Signs and wonders will start to follow. You'd say, well, I don't have the gift of healing. Well, you know who does have the gift of healing? Jesus. Well, I don't have the gift of miracles. You know who does have the gift of miracles? The Holy Spirit. When you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, you're baptized not into a power, but you're baptized with a person. And he has all the power that's needed for every situation. Baptism with the Holy Spirit is the greatest reality, the greatest gift to the church. The greatest gift to the world is Jesus on the cross. The greatest gift to the church is the person of the Holy Spirit. That's true. The Holy Spirit convicts the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Sin that they don't believe, righteousness that he ascended to the Father, Jesus ascended, and judgment that the ruler of this world has cast out. The Holy Spirit's been working on people all over the place. I was taking an Uber to the airport here at like 5 in the morning. And when was this? I think last year, 2024, I think it was, early 2024. I felt really tired. I didn't want to go and be in Washington, D.C. to preach. I mean, I wanted to go, but I didn't want to get on the plane to go. You know what I'm talking about? It's like you want to be at the arrival point, but you don't want to be up at 4 in the morning. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? All right. A couple people understand. A couple moms understand. You're like, I love my children, but I don't want to be up at 4 in the morning. You guys understand what I'm talking about? I'd gotten in late the night before. I'm not complaining. I could be riding a horse. I get to get on a plane. As I'm talking to my Uber driver, he's playing Christian music. I told the Lord, I said, God, I don't care how I feel. I'll talk to people about you. Because I don't live by my feelings, I live by faith. He's playing Christian music. We start talking about the Lord. He shares with me how he had tried to take his life. He kept hearing voices trying to tell him to take his life. And he woke up in the hospital, his kidneys failing, his family around him praying. And he surrendered to Christ and he confessed to his wife very bad things he had done. He got delivered. I said, when did you get filled with the Holy Spirit, baptize the Holy Spirit, and start speaking with new tongues? He goes, I haven't yet. I said to him, for this reason I was sent to you today. I got all King James English on him. 4:35 in the morning. For this reason I was sent to you today. I thought I was going to have to teach him. But within 3 to 5 seconds, he starts shaking behind the steering wheel, weeping profusely, speaking with new tongues. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise for that. His wife got baptized in water and baptized with the Holy Spirit the next week. His daughter got born again, baptized in water, baptized with the Holy Spirit that same day. His son got baptized with the Holy Spirit a week later. Friends, God's going to move through your family. God's going to move through your friends. God's going to move through you. God's going to move through me. Say this with me. Say, God is moving, and I'm going to move with him. Yeah, when you get moving with God, things start changing. You know, if you're going through spiritual warfare, you're having a challenging time, get in your car and go for a drive. Call a friend and say, let's pray in the Holy Ghost on the phone. Or pick up a friend and say, let's go for a prayer drive. You want to know why you can do that? Because the Bible says the devil walks to and fro throughout the earth. The devil has to walk. You have a Ford Expedition. You got a Ford F-150. You got a Fiat, whatever it is you drive. You get in that thing, the devil can't. Where'd he go? Where'd Pastor Alex go? We had this whole plan. We're going to try to mess up his day. Oh, he got in the Honda Pilot again and went to pray. Sometimes you just, the Bible says if anyone's suffering, let him pray. People are suffering. Families right around here. Some of them don't even believe in God, and they're saying, God, please help me. And guess what? You're going to go knock on their door in a couple weeks. Children hurt, broken, that God wants home. Some of them will become your disciples. They'll become members of your family. Single moms will become members of your family. This church will double. This church will triple. This church will quadruple. You'll have to figure out. You won't have to figure out where to get property, because when things are moving, when you're on a moving train, everything comes along. The Bible says the Lord's your shepherd. You have no need. That means he satisfies every need, and he actually brings about the desires of your heart. When you get God's agenda in your heart, in your mouth, in your walk, and in your talk, everything around you starts to flow like a river. Everything around you. The things that you would desire and want, God will just bring them to you. I was going to New Zealand. I want a new surfboard. I get to New Zealand. I didn't bring a surfboard with me because it costs too much to pay to bring it over there, and I didn't want to bring it. I get there. A guy walks up to me after one of the meetings. He says, do you want to go surf tomorrow morning if you're not preaching? I said, sure, let's go surf. He gives me a surfboard. He goes, try this out. I ride the board. Best board I had ridden. Best board I'd ever ridden up to that time. For real. It was like four fins on it. Really cool board. He goes, flip the board over. Bottom of the board has a verse on it. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open to you. He said, Chris, I made that board exactly for you. He made it for me before I even got there. See, God is wanting to meet you, but you have to allow his agenda to be first place in your heart. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. Don't worry about tomorrow. I see worry getting driven away right now in Jesus' name. If you receive it, say, I receive it in Jesus' name. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Now, I believe if somebody gets shot on the way to the baptismal tank, they'll still make it in heaven, just like that thief on the cross. However, that thief on the cross still died in the punishment of his actions. Baptism is where deliverance is to happen. When you get baptized in water, deliverance happens. Baptism in water is more than a public declaration of faith. It is literally a cutting off of your old life. You'd say, I was baptized as a baby. That doesn't count. You didn't get to choose to repent of your sins when you were a baby. You only knew how to poop. You'd say, I got baptized when I was 12, but I didn't bury my old life. Bury your old life forever. So people in this room, you need to talk to your pastor after the service. Say, I need to be baptized. He'll baptize you today. We'll figure something out. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved or delivered. He who does not believe shall be condemned. Why? Because people are already condemned. I'm going to hit this a little harder. People are condemned. The wages of sin is death. Heaven is real and hell is real. People are either on the road to heaven or the road to hell. Which road are you on today? You can get on the right road forever. There are people in this room. You're going to surrender your life to Jesus today and never look back. You're never going to look in the rearview mirror. I pray you'd never have to raise your hand in an altar call except for going into missions or something. There are people in this room today. There are things that you don't think you can be forgiven of, but the price has already been paid, friends. And Jesus said on the cross, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Friends, there's forgiveness. You'd say, I know what I was doing. I knew what I was doing when I did that. Friend, you did not understand the full implications of your actions eternally. But all of us were born into sin, and Jesus came to save every single one of us. Not all sin is the same. Jesus said to Pontius Pilate, the man who turned me over to you has a greater sin. There are sins that are greater. Why? Because they destroy more people's lives. But the same price was paid for every single one. And the great sin of unbelief is getting wiped away today. I want to do this right now because we have a little bit of time. If you're here today and you'd say, Chris, I'm not sure if I've surrendered my life to Jesus. Or you're here today and you say, Chris, I'm not sure if I'm born again. I'm talking to you right now. The Bible says we must be born again. Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith, said you must be born again. How do you know if you're born again? You confess with your mouth, Jesus, Lord, believe in your heart that God raised from the dead, you'll be saved. That confession and belief begins to change your life. Jesus said, if you confess me before people, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. Anywhere under the sound of my voice, there's a room full of people here that care about God and care about you. If you can't raise your hand in front of a room full of people that care about you, how are you going to stand for Jesus in the world? I want to do this right now. If there's anybody here and you'd say, Chris, I'm not sure where I would end up if I died today, if I'd go to heaven or hell. Chris, I'm not sure I'm born again. Or Chris, I believe I got born again, but I'm not allowing the Lord to lead my life. Hidden sins, wickedness, oppressions that we've allowed in. And I want to pray right now with people. Eyes open. Everybody here together is a family. There's no condemnation for you. There's forgiveness right now. Anywhere in this place, you'd say, God, I want to surrender my life to you. I know Jesus died for me, but I want to give everything over to you by faith. If you're under the sound of my voice and any of those things apply to you, you're not sure if you're born again. You're born again, but you're living in hypocrisy. Or you're afraid you're going to go to hell. Friends, there are people here that God wants to break that condemnation forever. Anywhere in the sound of my voice, when I count to three, I want you to boldly lift your hand. We're going to pray with you right where you're at. One, he died for you on the cross. Two, he rose from the dead. Three, he is coming again. Anywhere, I see those hands. Put them up high. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yeah, there's forgiveness for you, daughter, in the back. You're being cleansed right now. You're being cleansed of your sins right now. Keep that hand up. Just pray this with me. Say it out loud. Say, Jesus, I give you everything. You died for me. You rose from the dead. You are Lord and you are Savior. I turn from my old life and my old ways to follow you forever. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your forgiveness. I'm going to pray for you right now. Your sins are forgiven you. 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 Suicide and depression is leaving right now. Anxiety is leaving right now. A spirit of fear is leaving right now. There's a woman divorced 7 years ago. This trauma around divorce, it is leaving you right now. Images that you haven't been able to get out of your head, I drive them out right now, young man, young woman. In Jesus' name, they go from you. I put the power of God on every soul under the sound of my voice, and especially on those that are surrendering right now. In Jesus' name, be blessed. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. This is awesome. We're not done, but I really feel like maybe we could have the kids come back up and they can be in the service. I think they're going to quiet down because I feel the glory of God in here. I believe they will. We're going to see a bunch of healing miracles break out. And also on top of that, we're going to see people get baptized with the Holy Spirit and speak with new tongues in prayer. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2 says, he who speaks with another tongue does not speak to men, but to God. There's a tongue where you're praying to God in that sometimes people can understand, but many times they won't. I was in Israel praying with new tongues on my knees, not being loud, and a Hebrew girl came over and knelt down next to me, Messianic Jew. She's praying, and all of a sudden she looks at me and she says something in Hebrew. And I open my eyes up, I turn to her, and I said, I don't know what you're saying. She said, you're speaking perfect Hebrew. I said, what am I saying? She said, you keep saying, God, you are my king. You're the God of the living. You're enthroned in heaven. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. All sickness will be done away when then Jesus will return. I was magnifying God. That's what it says in Acts chapter 2. It says, people came and heard the disciples speak with new tongues, and they heard them magnifying God. They're like, why are they magnifying God? It wasn't just for preaching. Why? Because if it was just for preaching, Peter wouldn't have had to get up and preach. He gets up and preaches. He says, men of Judea, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it's only the third hour of the day. But this was what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Sons and daughters would prophesy. Say prophesy. When you're speaking with new tongues, you're actually prophesying in languages you don't naturally know. Somebody says, well, it sounds repetitive. Mine sounds repetitive. If you were saying thank you, Jesus, over and over again, would that sound repetitive? Yes, but it'd still be beautiful to God, and it would still edify you. It would still build you up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. This is for every Christian. I'll prove it to you. It's the words of Jesus right here. Mark 16. In my name, they will cast out devils. Verse 17, let's read that first. And these signs will follow who? Those who believe. Now, I believe that most of us are in believer service now because we just gave an altar call and people surrendered or repented or consecrated their lives. People got born again too, which is awesome. In my name, they will cast out devils. Do you believe that every believer can cast out demons? Put your hand up if you believe that. You can. You can. How do you cast out a devil? Get out in Jesus' name. I was preaching in Northern California, and it was in Bethel Church in Redding. I was one of the serving people on the leadership team of the healing rooms there. We had over 1,000 volunteers that would pray for the sick. We had so many volunteers. We had a volunteer problem. We had to divide them into groups. We'd have 250 volunteers per week because we had over 1,000 volunteers in the church for that ministry. I saw more miracles than I know what to do with. Like tens of thousands, if not many, many more. Every week seeing stage 4 cancer healed on average. Mighty miracles. People coming in wheelchairs, getting up, walking around. Somebody would say, I don't like Bethel. Well, God doesn't like that you don't like Bethel. Well, I heard this about Bethel. How about you just hear stuff about Jesus and just celebrate what he's doing in different places? Well, I don't like this church. I don't like Benny Hinn. You know, Benny Hinn used to do miracle services all over America for free in stadiums. They would cost $1 million a pop. And I've met pastors all over the world that were saved in his meetings. Instead of criticizing the body of Christ, why don't you get to work? If you get to work, you won't have time to be critical. God's going to put his people to work in this house. You don't have to, like, just because you don't like people's mannerisms or the way they do things, just do your thing and do it well with everything you have. These signs will follow us believe. In my name, you'll cast out demons. If you believe, do you believe every Christian casts out a devil? I was preaching there in Northern California, and there was this kid. He was leaping around and being really weird. He's about 14 years of age. And I said, bring him into the sanctuary. And there was no music in there. And he kept dancing around with no music. And it just felt really weird. You know, sometimes things are not just, actually, pretty much all the time, they're not just a mental problem. There's a spiritual component that messes up the mental stuff. I said, go find his mom. They went and found his mom, brought his mom in. She starts crying. I said, God's going to deliver your son. She goes, I know, I brought him here for this. I started preaching the gospel to him. I said, Jesus died on the cross, and when Jesus rose from the dead, as soon as I said, Jesus rose from the dead, this deep guttural voice came out of that 14-year-old, and the voice goes, Jesus is dead. And then I go, Jesus is alive. And then the thing goes, no. And I said, you're coming out in Jesus' name. And it said, I'm not coming out. And I know the devil's a liar, so that means he's coming out. Do you believe that you can cast out devils? Amen. If you believe that all believers are to cast out demons and have power to cast out demons, then why do you take the next part out? They will what? Speak with new tongues. Why? Because when you don't know what to pray for and you don't know how to praise through it, God will give you words from heaven. You're the one doing the talking, but the Holy Ghost is the one giving the utterance. And every believer is to be filled with the Holy Spirit speaking with new tongues. Paul said it in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 7. He said, I desire that you all speak with other tongues. It's a desire. It's God wants it more than you do. You'd say, well, I don't want it. Why would you not want what God wants you to have? See, when you don't want tongues, you actually don't want the Holy Spirit. I haven't spoken in tongues at all during the service, except for in praise and prayer quietly to myself. It says if anybody's not interpreting, you do it unto yourself because you're edifying yourself in worship. I was singing in the Spirit. I was praying in the Spirit during worship. But God will even give words in a tongue. Viteleos. Santios vendicios santos. Elios santo la mesiopa eremencio costa. You cannot fulfill my mission without the life that I have for you. The life of my spirit. The life of my love. Vite maca anashama atala santo sobosa erencio constosis. For my cleansing and my power are in my spirit. That's a tongue and an interpretation of tongues. See, when you get baptized with the Holy Spirit, you become a one-person Holy Ghost party everywhere you go. You can wake up in the morning and become a Holy Ghost party. Smith Wigglesworth said, if you pray in tongues until you feel the power of God on you, you'll never backslide. He said, if you sing the song of the Lord, you'll have strength for every day. Some of you need strength. Isaiah 28, 11 and 12 says this, through stammering lips and a new tongue, I will speak to my people, yet they will not hear. For this is the rest which I'll cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they will not hear. You'd say, I don't feel rest. Do you pray with other tongues? This is important stuff. It says also, you'll lay your hands on the sick and they'll recover. You'll take up serpents, that means the devil can't hurt you. You drink anything deadly, that means people can't hurt you. Don't put weird stuff in your body, but it means that people can't hurt you intentionally. They will lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. Verse 19, when the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. Say, work with me, Lord. Confirming the word with accompanying signs. Go with me to Ephesians 4. I'm almost done. I got plenty of time. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For what? The equipping. Say equipping. The word equipping means to make things right, to fit things, to align things, to put things in order. It comes from a word where a doctor would actually set a bone, the Greek word katartizo. You know, when a bone gets set, it hurts for a second, but if it doesn't get set, it's not going to heal correctly. The word of God realigns your life. And God will actually cause things to get offended to get removed. I told a pastor recently, I talked to him on the phone just now, I said, you're going to have this guy come in and it's going to be really good for you. And I was afraid he was going to get offended. And he said, Chris, it's been so good. My whole life has been changed. It's amazing. Until what? Till we all come to what? The unity of the faith. Say the faith. The faith is a topic. It's the faith of Christ. It's the message of the gospel. And the what? Knowledge of the Son of God. That Greek word there, epignosis for knowledge, is divine knowledge that can only come from God. It's knowledge beyond your senses. It's precise moral knowledge or knowledge of the divine. To a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we'd no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of teaching, by the trickery of many and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth of love may grow up into all things to him is the head, from whom the whole body, joint knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by what every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. God gives you people to help you in your journey. God gave his word, and God gives people to be a witness to his word. Some of us listen more to YouTube than we listen to our pastor. You need to get in the Bible yourself. You know, sometimes knowledge puffs up. Every time, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. We will go seek out knowledge because we're not fruitful. We'll try to know more and get more knowledge and be less and less fruitful. But then God will send you people that challenge you. I got around a young man in Northern California that challenged me because everywhere he'd be on the streets, he'd see people get saved, see people get healed, and then they'd get baptized the Holy Spirit right on the street, speaking with new tongues, shaking power of God on them, falling over in the street. And I thought to myself, I have the same Bible, same Holy Spirit, same Jesus. I need to repent. I need to get into alignment more. God has more for me. Somebody says, I'm not a preacher. You know what my job was when I was 19? I was a librarian. My job was to shush people. Now my job is to cause people to preach and preach loud. You need to get in the flow of what God has for you. Somebody says, that's not my personality. My personality is to go read a book. My personality is to go be by myself. The Bible is not about your personality. The Bible is about Jesus. I feel the power of God here. I want to do this. Anyone here, we're going to call out some stuff. I'm going to have you guys stretch hands towards the people that we pray for. If you're a family member, you've already prayed enough. You don't need to pray during this time for a family member. Those around you can pray. I'm going to pray for this first. You can't test this in the moment usually, but every single person we pray for is going to feel the power of God on them, and they're going to know they got a breakthrough. Anyone here with any form of autoimmune problem, put your hand up right now. Autoimmune disease. I saw one of you, you've got a lining problem with your stomach, and the Lord's going to heal you right now too. I want those people to stand to their feet. If you're around them, you can stretch a hand towards them. Stand up if you have raised your hand. Just stand up. That's all the faith you need to get healed. Just you standing is all the faith you need to get healed. Go ahead and stand up. If your hand's up, go ahead and stand up. If you're around them, stretch a hand towards them. You can stand up next to them or whatever to join them in faith. In Jesus' name, stretch your hands towards them. Say, in Jesus' name, be well. Yes, Lord, I will. This woman right here, God's going to touch your kidneys and God's going to touch your neck too. God, I thank you for it, even down to your lower back. I thank you for it right now, even into the female organs. I thank you for it right now. In Jesus' name, be well. Be well. Be well. God's healing like a Sarah here too. I don't know where you are, but I bless you in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody's getting healed of a hip problem right now while I'm talking. You got a problem with your left hip. You have sciatica. It runs even down into your left foot. In Jesus' name, begin to move your leg around. You'll find that the sciatica is gone. You'll find that your hips have realigned and the Lord has healed you as you move around right now. Just stretch your hands towards these guys and say, thank you, God, for healing them. In Jesus' name. How many of you are standing? You can feel the power of God on you while you're standing right now. Just wave at me. Thank you, Father. Wave them really big. Wave it really big. Wave really. Look at this all over the room. This is awesome. This is awesome. Come on, give the Lord a big hand clap of praise. That's awesome. Who's the person with the sciatic problem? I feel it maybe in this area of the room. Who's that person? Is that you? Stand up and check it out. You don't feel it? Were you feeling it earlier? You were in quite a bit of pain before in church. Do we talk before the meeting? Now, we do know each other. We go to a church together. But do we talk? Have you told me about that problem? Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise? That's a miracle. What? Let's do this, like head, shoulders, knees, and toes. We're just going to hit a few different things. Anyone with neck issues, put your hand up right now. I've been in meetings where every single person got healed. And I'm calling out conditions, but Jesus called out your condition on the cross. You know, God in his mercy will highlight things to give you faith. But you don't need your thing to get called out. He called your thing out on the cross. Stand up with the neck issues anywhere in the room. Two of you have an issue with the curvature in your neck. It's like a bump or something, like a curvature problem. Stretch your hands towards these guys. Say, in Jesus' name, be well. All pain go, all trauma go, all infirmity go, all devil power go, in Jesus' name. And right there, that's the power of God. Stay stand for just a second. Begin to move your neck around. Check your neck out. Do what you couldn't do before. Some of you, it even goes all the way down to your tailbone. God's healed you. Just check it out right now. If you were in pain when you came in and either the pain's gone or you can feel power in your neck. I know some people can't check in the moment. It's like if I lay down a certain way or whatever. If you feel power in your neck or the pain's gone, wave both hands over your head right now. That's awesome. That's awesome. Let's get her again real quick. Stretch your hands. What's your name, sweetie? Danielle. Stretch your hands towards Danielle. Say thank you, Jesus, for healing Danielle too. Even your jaw is getting healed, Danielle. In Jesus' name right now. You know what God's doing? He's putting a fresh leap in your walk today too. You have such a heart after God. You have a heart after God and you want to serve God. And it's been one blow after another. 15 years ago, it was like a hammer came into your life and just blew stuff open. But you know what the Lord's going to do? He's going to make you a weapon of righteousness that he's going to hold in his hand. And you're going to destroy the spirit of addiction out of families. God's going to rip addiction. He's going to rip the spirit of death out of people. He's going to rip fear out of people. And even tormenting dreams are leaving you right now in Jesus' name. I release you from them right now by the power of God, even like a weird nausea that comes on you, that spirit of witchcraft comes out of your life right now. You are the blessed of the Lord, and whom God has blessed cannot be cursed. I break that power out of your life right now in Jesus' name. God heals your breathing. God heals all of your body, even your blood right now, and your energy gets healed right now in Jesus' name. Does that all make sense to you, sweetie? Yeah, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. It's the power of God on you. Check your neck. Your neck's healed. Move it around. How's that feel? Is there any pain? Was it in pain earlier? And it's not in pain now. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. That's awesome. Come on, shout to the Lord in the house today. Say, Jesus is alive. Come on, stand to your feet and give the Lord a hand clap of praise. This is awesome. I want to pray for everybody. So there's, man, I feel the anointing really strong. You can go if you have to in just a sec. I'll give the dismissal in the next 2 minutes. Anyone here, you've not been baptized with the Holy Spirit speaking with new tongues, humble yourself. Jesus commanded his disciples to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. The Holy Spirit is a person, and he is the promise of the Father. And the Lord wants your life filled with him. He wants you baptized with the Holy Spirit. And just like the disciples in the upper room, just like the Gentiles whom Peter was sent to in Acts chapter 10, who all spoke with other tongues, and just like those believers in Acts 19 that Paul said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They didn't understand. He talked to them, prayed with them, and they all were filled, and they all began to speak with other tongues and prophesy, not or. If you're here today and you've never had that wondrous experience, I'm going to pray for you at the end. I want you to stay for it, but I want you to raise your hand right now as an act of humility, saying, God, I want everything you have for me. Put it up really high. Thank you, Father. That's a lot of people. You know, this is going to change your Christian walk forever. This is for you. Your pastors have taught on this. You guys can put your hands down for a second. Your pastors have taught on this. You wonder why it feels hard to put your hands up? That's one reason why. It's actually a big reason why. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you quit thinking about you. Somebody'd say, I don't want to be out of control. You're already out of control. But the Bible says the Holy Spirit will give you self-control. You'd say, well, I don't want to make it up. God knows you don't want to make it up. The disciples in the upper room, they had heard Jesus say, you all speak with other tongues in Mark 16, what I just read. They didn't know exactly what it was going to look like, but it says tongues of fire came and rest upon each of their heads, a tongue for everyone. And they all, say all, began to speak with other tongues. This will change your Christian walk forever. But before that, anyone else you need healing in your body anywhere, put your hand up. God will get every single one of you right now. What do you want me to do for this, Lord? Put your hand where you need the miracle right now. I'm going to turn around just so I can't see it. Fix your eyes on Jesus. He wants it more than you. He doesn't love the other people that have been healed more than you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Many of you will feel this instantaneous right now. In Jesus' name, I command every oppression and sound of my voice to go. I command tumors to disappear. I command cysts to disappear. I command fear to go. If you need a lot of miracles, put your hand on your head or your heart. In Jesus' name, I command all those oppressions to go. Shoulder problems, neck problems, back problems, hip problems. There's a woman, you just got healed in your right hip. In Jesus' name. Somebody, you have metal implanted in like your right hip, I think it is, your right leg. In Jesus' name, I command all those limited mobility problems to disappear forever right now. I command sinus problems healed. I command back problems healed. I command that tailbone, that woman with that tailbone problem from childbirth, you're healed in Jesus' name. I command every oppression, that right elbow problem, that blood problem, that autoimmune problem, that fear problem, every single trauma, every single oppression, go under the sound of my voice right now in Jesus' mighty name. Be made whole. Yeah, those knee problems. I see this man in the front row with his hand on his knee. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed. All pain go. All discomfort go. I can feel power coming up my legs. There's leg miracles happening all over the room. Take the next 20, 30 seconds and check your body. Do what you couldn't do before. Take a deep breath. Move your shoulder. Move your wrist. Try to find the pain. Take 20, 30 seconds. Try to find the problem. All over the room. Try to find the problem. How do you know if you have $1 million in your bank account? You check. How do you know if the physical problem has already left? You check. That's faith. Begin to move around. Do what you couldn't do before. Try to find the scoliosis. It's healed in the upper neck and the upper back. Try to find the problem. If the pain's left you, or you felt power in that area, somebody say it's my kidneys, right? Well, you can't tell if you're healed, but if you felt power come into your kidney, that was your miracle. The woman with the issue of blood, she didn't bend down in the crowd to check if the bleeding had stopped. She felt within herself that she was healed. If you're under the sound of my voice and the pain's gone, the discomfort, the immobility is gone, or you felt power in that area, wave both hands over your head right now. Do it right now at any point in the meeting. Come on, really high. Come on, this is awesome. Look at that. That's a lot of people. Keep them really high. I just want to count. Somebody look around and count. That's a lot of people. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap and a shout of praise. This is awesome. I'm going to have your pastor come back up. He's going to give you like a soft dismissal. Anybody else that wants prayer, or if you raised your hand for the baptism of Holy Spirit and fire, that's better than lunch. And it's not even 12. We're going to pray for everybody. But if you're here today and you want to get filled with the Holy Ghost, in a moment we're going to let you come up. But I'm going to hand back to your pastor. Give the Lord another hand clap.
Hey, we're going to continue on. If you need to get going, you can get going. But I'll invite our worship team back up. We want to praise the Lord. We just want to give him glory today. I mean, he's moving and he's working. So our worship team's going to come up. We're just going to praise Jesus. And if you need prayer, if you need ministry, if there's something, man, maybe you had a little bit of fear and you just kind of felt like, I don't want to raise my hand. I don't want to stand up. I don't want to do any of that. This is just a second chance. Our ministry team's going to be up here. Chris is going to be up here. I'll be up here. We would love to pray with you. We'd love to minister with you. And just the power of Jesus is moving in the room. So just say yes today. Don't miss this moment to say yes to him. Man. He wants all those things for you. He's got good gifts for you. Praying in tongues. It's not scary. It's a blessing.